It's the next year on podtech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. I'm joined today by Hugh Kemp. He is from Narrowcar, and he is joining us today to talk about his revolutionary new vehicle, one that was featured in quite an interesting television series just recently, the Future Car Series. Tell us about this car.
Yeah, we're targeting a vehicle that is effectively narrow to make it user-friendly in cities. Mm-hmm. It's a meter wide, it's 2.5 meters long, carries two people. It's very tall, so you can be seen in traffic and you can plan your journey in traffic. The revolutionary part of it is that it actually leans into corners, so it's got a system, a steer system and roll control system that helps it bank into corners for stability. So it behaves very much like a motorcycle.
And the promise of it is about reducing congestion because it can actually do lane splitting. Is that the revolutionary aspect behind it?
Yeah, that's the key area, really. In Europe, it's okay to do lane splitting. In states, I think there's been some cases where lane splitting has now been agreed in California. Mm-hmm. And we see it as quite a neat way to shortcut your journey. And the benefit is that the vehicle's light. It weighs about 300 kilograms. It's very efficient in aerodynamic terms, so with a 15 kilowatt engine or electric motor or whatever we use to power it, it gets an equivalent of 100 miles to gallon from a fuel economy point of view. So, you know, from a CO2 point of view, it's a great reduction in CO2 from the, you know, more conventional vehicle.
And so are these vehicles currently available?
No, we're in a research phase at the moment. We've built a what we call a mule car, which is a sort of steel structure, but it's got the right engine, transmission, suspension, roll and steer systems. And we've been developing the control system to make it bank and lean into corners properly. And that was the mule car that was featured on Future Car as part of our program, basically. And we're now going into a phase now where we're building the sort of first full prototype, which will include a skeletal structure, probably in aluminium, with thermoplastic panels to create the sort of body structure and surface. So it'd be a very lightweight structure, but enclosed structure, skeletal, so that it gives good protection for the driver and the passenger, and they sit in tandem, you know, one behind the other.
How long do you think it will be before this is in full production?
We reckon about 2009, 2010 we'll be going into production. And our initial target is to produce them in Wales, and I'm here with the Welsh team showing the sort of things we're doing. The plan is to make the commuter version, the sort of guy who starts off on a city freeway or, you know, or motorway in England, then goes into a city for his final destination. So the vehicle is quite good in that sort of traffic system. It will be capable of doing about 80 mile an hour. 0 to 60 will be about 12 seconds. So it's going to be reasonably quick, so that it keeps up with traffic. You know, mm-hmm. I think the last thing you want for a city car is to be stuck in the or for a load of other normal cars behind it saying, oh, I wish this thing would get out of the way.
right.
So we're quite keen that it has that performance aspect, right?
Are you looking at other markets, North America,
well,
Asia?
The plan is to look at first this commuter version, then to look at a van version for sort of city delivery, people like the post office maybe.
So you're going after a fleet?
Yeah, fleet sort of operation. Mm-hmm. And then the other bit is a taxi. A single seat taxi, we've got one featured on our thing here, where if you analyse in London, we've done some work with London Transport looking at the taxi usage, and apparently something like 80% of fares are single fares, so you know, they send a 5-seat taxi that's 2.5 tons of vehicle, whereas you could send one of these and get a quicker journey for your passenger. Mm-hmm. Basically,
are you a public or private company?
We're a private company, mm-hmm. UK based. And I think in the longer term, we recognise that this sort of product has a good future, and we see it growing worldwide. And our strategy will be to license the design to other manufacturers, both to look at a sort of Far Eastern and North American. Really, I think mm-hmm. that's our view. I think we. It's no point trying to take on the world, really, from a small company. I think it's much more applicable to license the base technology, which is this roll steer system, which we've patented.
What do you see as the promise of this vehicle for the commuter and the consumer?
For the commuter, it's an ability to probably shorten his city journey by maybe 50%.
We've important to somebody who might be a high priced or a high powered executive.
That's right. Yeah.
Whose value of time.
Value of time. Time's come important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen sort of in average speeds in London are about 7 miles an hour for a car. In congestion time. For a motorcycle, they're achieving sort of 15, 20 miles an hour. So you can see, you know, massively what you would achieve. And this has the same footprint as a motorcycle.
Have you come up with a price point for it?
Yeah, we're looking at around just over £6,000, which will be, $11,000 or something.
It certainly strikes at a price range much more palatable to me as a consumer when I look at the Tango, which is by commuter cars, has the same concept of a narrow car know, with lane splitting and the promise of reducing parking congestion well. But it's a $100,000 vehicle at the time, although they are expecting, 2008, 2009 to get under 20.
I think our strategy has been is the novel part of the car is the fact that we lean it to make it stable in cornering, and that's the key sort of feature, and that allows us to have a very light car. Tango gets its stability by having about 600 kilograms of batteries in the bottom, and they're always going to be expensive. So our view was that we should use a good clean gasoline engine. We can probably fuel it on bioethanol or something of that nature, and go for a market where we're using known technology for the powertrain at our first introduction. Mm-hmm. The beauty of the vehicle, though, it doesn't need very much power. So, as things like batteries and
biodiesel,
all these sort of future powertrains grow and become more cost effective. We're quite a nice platform to take on those technologies.
So you certainly envision at some point that this vehicle would be able to be modified for a future
it's fuel. The design of it is that the rear power unit is a sort of cassette that bolts into the back of the structure, sits underneath the driver. It sits in this area here.
When we look at something like this, there are advocates of safety who are going to raise some concerns about it. Yeah.
In terms of crash structure, that's the bit I'm working on at the moment, researching at the moment, and we believe that we can be as good as a normal car. We've got as much crash distance between the feet of the driver and the front of the car as a normal front-wheel drive car, so we can control most accidents in that sense. And we've made the rear of the car very high, so most accidents will lose their energy in sort of damaging the sort of powertrain and chassis sort of underneath the car, basically. So we reckon there's a good sort of control there. And in terms of side impact, it's very much the same as a normal, just the same distance from the accident, basically, so it doesn't make a lot of difference. And I think from an active safety point of view, because you're narrow, you've got an opportunity to avoid accidents. I think how many times have you sat on a freeway when you think, oh no, that bloke's going to hit me in the back, whereas you'll be able to dart down the corner.
Right. Since the airing of the show Future Car, how has it changed for your company?
I think I've got a lot of I've got a website, and I had a lot of hits on the website where people are interested in when can I buy one? I'd like to have one, almost immediately. So I've got a lot of customer input. I've got a lot of people saying they'd like to franchise them and sell them in America, and also some potential investors, people that like the concept and are thinking about the idea of being a part of the program, basically. So it's been very useful for me, actually. So it was a great accolade to get on that show, and we had about a 10-minute slot, which was pretty good.
Is it One of the biggest challenges to get financing and backing to launch this type of endeavor?
I think with a sort of new product that's not out of the sort of classic mold, basically the initial investment is from somebody like myself who's a bit of an entrepreneur, wants to make the thing work. I've got a lot of support from the Welsh Assembly Government. They're very interested in this sort of technology, and they've helped with sort of research grants to help promote the design. And I think basically until I get to, you know, a prototype that looks like one of these styling sketches I've shown here, I find it very difficult to get private finance or equity investment into the business, basically. So my target is to seed the project with my funding as much as I can, get some grant funding from the Welsh, which are being very supportive, and then build those two to get to a prototype, which then I'll go to market to look at the financial
Are there
investors.
Any other challenges that you're finding?
A few. The challenges come by some of the... I've been through the sort of certification process for this vehicle, and I've been to the European licensing authorities, and we've gone through the sort of the design of the vehicle, and they're sort of... Initially, they don't like it because it doesn't fit either a car or a motorcycle. It's something in between, you know, and have we got to change the legislation, you know, and there's that problem. But they've now been very constructive, and they found a route through. There's a route where if I keep below a certain horsepower and certain mass of the vehicle, I can certify it as what they call a quadricycle rules, which are... They cover sort of quad bikes and things like that in the European legislation. So I can fit it into that, but it's not a good category to be in because quad bikes are seen as dangerous. Mm. So it's quite important that I try and sort of promote this. You know, we're in that category, but because we've got a full structure and seat belts, and you know, we are a such safer car than a quad bike, say.
And you're here at the Alternative Fuels Expo in Anaheim. What are you hoping to gain from being here?
Well, I hope to find people that are interested in the design, and you know, maybe possible licensee opportunities, and looking for somebody who maybe want to be an investor in it. Yeah, so that's my main task, really.
And your final thoughts on the Narrow Car, its promise, and the effort that you've put in to bring it to market?
I've been in engineering all my life. I used to be product director for Lotus Cars. You know, covered the introduction of the Lotus Elise, which was a bit of a groundbreaking sort of product, and I always like a challenge. So I see this as an opportunity to, you know, make a mark on the world, and you know, make a significant dent in reduction of CO2, and that's what my target really. I want to give my kids a legacy to be proud of in the future.
And we can find more information about it where?
On my website, which is www.narrow.co.uk.
Hugh Camp from Narrow Car, it's a pleasure having you on the podcast today. Absolute best of luck and congratulations on the success you've achieved so far with this endeavor.
Great.
For the next year, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.
Very good.